Across Massachusetts this week, students and teachers are returning to the classroom for the start of a brand new school year.
One of those teachers, 28-year-old Adam Gray. Last June, Gray, who was then a math teacher at South Boston's Monument High School, was named Massachusetts Teacher of the Year. 2 weeks later, he was out of work.
Gray lost his job after the Boston School Committee decided to merge or close more than a dozen schools in the city. After the staffs of Monument and nearby Excel High School were merged, Gray's boss told him there would be no room for him this year, even though he'd been teaching for 5 years.
Well, happily, Adam Gray managed to land a teaching job at the Boston Latin School, so he's back in the classroom this week. We spoke to him earlier about teaching, about losing his job, and about why he chose to leave his home in South Carolina to teach in an urban school right here in Boston.
I chose Massachusetts because of the reputation that the state had for being one of the most effective states in the country in terms of educating students K through 12. And I chose Boston because it serves, you know, historically an underprivileged population. And that kind of goes to my personal mission of helping students who lack confidence and the emotional strength to help those types of students reach their full potential.
So when you got here, what did you learn about the condition of our urban schools?
Basically, what I learned just kind of reinforced some of the things that I had already learned, that it can be very chaotic at times. And there's, you know, we're making progress, but we're nowhere close to where we want to be collectively, teacher.
Now, Adam, there's sort of a crazy irony about your story, because you're named Teacher of the Year, then shortly after that, you lost your job at Monument High School because the school merged with Excel High School. Talk a little bit about your reaction to that. What did it tell you about the way society rewards good teachers?
Very controversial question here, which is good, because this is a perfect opportunity to have discussions like these.
Yeah.
In late April, my boss notified me, because of the merger of the absorption, there were going to be fewer math teacher positions than there were math teachers. And so what that obviously meant was that some teachers would be displaced. And she notified me that I would not have the option of returning to the new Excel after the merger. And my initial reaction, you know, as I think most people do when they lose their jobs or when they're displaced, is probably more what I would, how I would represent my situation, is what could I have done to better position myself to retain my job? Could I have reached out to families more? Could I have been more dedicated, more passionate? Could I have collaborated with my colleagues more? Could my students have achieved at higher levels? And while I think there's rooms for improvement in all of those areas always, the answer to that question is no. And the single factor that led to me being displaced was my years of service. I didn't have enough years of service. And I think that I can accurately represent the sentiments of effective teachers across the Commonwealth and across the nation when I say that that's frustrating.
That's frustrating.
That's
so
frustrating.
Seniority was valued more than the qualities that make a great teacher, it sounds like.
I will say that seniority was the reason why I was not retained.
That must be enormously frustrating.
It is frustrating. And, you know, I was recently asked a question about school closure. And in this reform era in education, how is school closure helping educational reform? And I think that's, you know, obviously it's a difficult question with a more complex answer. And we had a $63 million budget deficit in Boston Public Schools. And when you have economic crisis like we are in these days, it requires leaders to make difficult decisions. So while I don't necessarily believe that it was in the best interest of the students to close Monument, the decision had to be made to close the budget deficit. And to be an effective teacher, you have to create that special bond with students. And who gets kind of the bad end of everything? It's the students do, right? So when you develop these relationships with these teachers, or when students develop these strong bonds with these teachers and then teachers are displaced, yes, you know, I was required to find a new place of employment. But who got the bad deal on that one? It was the students did.
And in terms of that new place of employment, and as we mentioned in the introduction, you're going to be starting a new job at the Boston Latin School in September. Tell me how you feel about that.
Well, I'm really excited about that. It's a little bittersweet because I'm leaving a family that I've been a part of for 5 years, students and colleagues at Monument that I've created very strong friendships and relationships with. But I'm excited to join Boston Latin School, founded in 1635, the oldest public school in the country. And I'm looking forward to being challenged in ways that I was not challenged at Monument. And so that's going to force me to grow as a teacher. And that's what all teachers want. We want to be more effective. We're constantly looking for ways to do things differently. And so I'm excited. I'm embracing that this new challenge that's in front of me.
Now, I'm curious to know what the first year of teaching was like for you. You were 23. You're 28 now, so you're 23. This is a huge responsibility. I'm trying to think back to when I was 23, and the idea of taking on and being responsible for an urban classroom seems impossible for me to imagine. Any classroom, not just an urban classroom. And in your acceptance speech for Teacher of the Year, you said you lost 15 pounds in your first month.
That's right. It was one of the most efficient diets I've ever been on. It was difficult. There were, I don't think teachers get enough credit for the time that we put into the school day, the school week, the school year. If any teacher were sitting here to talk to you about what their day looked like, whether they're in year one or year five or year 10 or year 20, it's very impressive. I'm at work at 6:30 in the morning, often don't get home until 5 p.m. In my first year of work, it was really difficult. You go to work and the conditions always aren't what they probably should be. And you're grinding it out, you're working really hard, you're not always working smart, but as I said in the acceptance speech, it's difficult for first-year teachers, but one way to really kind of, if I were to give advice to first-year teachers, it would be to reach out to their more effective veteran colleagues, because they've been through the trenches, they've survived, and they can really help you get through the day.
I hear this again and again, the importance of learning from your elders in the classroom. I hear this again and again from teachers.
I mean, they really can be an untapped resource. And it really, I think one of the biggest challenges of being a teacher these days is this feeling of isolation. A lot of teachers, it feels like the egg crate culture where you just go into your classroom, you work with your students, and you're all alone. But really, you're part of a bigger team that ideally is working towards the same mission, which is to help students reach their full potential. And so we need to come up with systems and structures in place that make it easier for teachers to collaborate with one another within the same school and for teachers to collaborate across schools. And I think that we're moving in that direction. It's never as fast as we would like it to be. I think that once we figure out how to tap our more veteran effective teachers, it's going to help with teacher retention. I mean, there's numbers out there that say 50% of teachers in urban school districts leave the classroom after 2 years. I think a big part of that is support, support from other teachers. And so we're moving in the right direction. We're not moving fast enough, but I am hopeful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're optimistic because it's truly important. Adam, earlier this year, WBUR did a week-long series looking at the question of what makes a good teacher. And I'm curious to ask you, the Teacher of the Year, what do you think makes a good teacher?
Sure. Well, I think all effective teachers have several things in common. I think the philosophy they have behind their teaching is the same, in that to be an effective teacher, especially at a struggling urban school, teachers must hold the belief that their students have the abilities to achieve at high levels. That's number one. Number two is they have to believe in their own abilities to lead those students to greatness. And you can't just have one of them. You have to have both of them. So if you believe in your students but not in yourself, or you believe in yourself but not in your students, you have no chance of becoming effective. So that's kind of the philosophy behind it. One thing that I've personally used is trying to win their hearts before you win their minds.
Interesting.
You have to let students know that you have their best interest at heart. So reaching out to families, reaching out to parents and guardians, calling them when things are going well, calling them when things are not going well, and always having solutions-oriented conversations about how we can help the student reach their full potential. That's what it's all about. And then, so it's the philosophy, it's the action of engaging the families and developing that strong bond. And then beyond that, different teachers have different techniques, but it goes to how you move in the classroom, how do you talk to students, your presence, your curriculum, your lesson planning, and things like that. But I think the philosophy and the action of developing a strong bond are the most important parts of being an effective.
Let me go back, Adam, to something you said about closing schools, and you suggested that it might not be the best way to go. What do you think is the right path to improving schools?
So that's another question that gets asked often, and there's not one particular thing that we need to do to improve schools. There's a whole lot of things that we need to do. I think a lot of times people say, a lot of policy wonks will say, well, poverty is the problem, our schools are not the problem, or our schools are the problem, poverty is not the problem. Well, can it be both? Can it be both? You know, we don't have to go back into our corners and say it's one thing or the other. So there's a whole host of things that we need to do. And I think that we really need to look inside ourselves and say, what can we do better to be more effective so that all students have access to effective teachers and all teachers have access to effective leaders? And whatever we can do to ensure that those two things happen, I think is going to be a benefit.
Adam, last question.
Sure.
You're 28. That's still, by any measure, very young. You're clearly extremely intelligent. You could go in a lot of different directions. I'm wondering that after 5 years starting your career as a teacher, if you've looked back and had any regrets. In other words, you've been through this sort of urban cauldron of urban education. You've been a number in the sort of school closure process. Any regrets? Do you still feel as impassioned as you did 5 years ago?
Absolutely, I do.
I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely, I do. And I'm excited. Like I said, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm teacher of the year, but I'm not going to pretend to be the best teacher in the state of Massachusetts. And I have areas where I can improve, and I'm looking forward to going to Boston Latin School and improving and getting more effective, and then hopefully maybe working with other young teachers or other early career teachers, I should say, to help them increase their own effectiveness.
Well, Adam Gray, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
That's Adam Gray. He's the 2012 Massachusetts Teacher of the Year. He's just started a new job at the Boston Latin School.